Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And today we are talking about Easter eggs. We're going to walk you through what we believe to be a real Easter egg is and what it isn't, and dispel some of the derangement syndromes that have been adopted by this community of individuals over the years that call themselves the Swifties. But before we do that, we have to let you know that, okay, you heard that our Dublin and London shows were sold out and we tried to add extra shows, but unfortunately, because some of us left it until the last minute, we can't add extra shows. But what we can do is we have added standing room tickets in Dublin. Now, you don't actually have to stand if you get these tickets, but the reason why we're able to get more is because they freed up some room in the back. It's a mixed seating and standing event. So come early if you want to get seats to enjoy the show. But we have a limited number of tickets available for Dublin. Yay! And in the Unicorn, they've removed some equipment to open up an extra row in the back of the rafters for London Live. So go and get your tickets, evolutionofsnake.com. We're at the Sugar Club on September 4th and the Unicorn Theater on September 9th, I want to say, although I could be wrong. So go to my website, go to evolutionofsnake.com and take a look.
We don't know when it is.
We don't know. We don't know when our show is. But I just wanted to start with that wonderful news.
And it is wonderful news. And I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody who supported us. We've been dropping Easter eggs this whole time, by the way, and nobody cared.
Nobody cared. Evolution of a Snake, EOAS 12 coming, and you don't even care.
Although, there has been chatter in my own head, because the theme is Bleachella. I've been trying to decide what I want to do with my hair. The voices, the Green Goblin mask has been talking to me. I'm not going to do it. I shouldn't do it. So it doesn't matter.
Maybe, but maybe you will, but you won't know unless you get tickets.
The Green Goblin mask whispers to me at night and says, Bleach.
Oh.
It would be too cunty, but we'll see.
We'll see. Also, we're doing a lot of changes to the Patreon at the moment. Spoiler alert, the changes are you're getting more content and it's better. So patreon.com/astrologist, go find out the tea. We want to see you there. This is going to be very important as certain developments keep happening in the Taylor Nation. Trust and believe, this is the place you want to be. You don't want to be on Twitter with the Trav Wives. You don't want that. You don't want that.
You want to be on patreon.com/astrologist. Speaking of certain things that are coming to pass, speaking of certain things that may or may not be happening, I mean, if we're going to do an Easter eggs episode, we should probably talk about if Taylor has been Easter egging at all. The tea is we don't know. We don't have that information. If she has, she's doing it incredibly well to the point where we don't know what it is. But I can tell you for free, she's been having a wonderful, beautiful time. I can tell you that. She's been doing many wonderful things. I'm sure everybody saw Travis's Instagram post. Isn't it nice to have a purse who posts? A purse who says, I like to take pictures of my girlfriend and post them on the internet for people to see, wow, you have a beautiful girlfriend. And he does. And I think he should celebrate that. And he does. So I'm happy.
He even takes away her fuck-ass filter, which is amazing to me.
We needed it.
We get to see candid pictures of Taylor taken on an iPhone camera with her man without the purple hue that we have come to dread and loathe. So that's a wonderful benefit of having a Travis in the Taylor Nation. I think Easter egging-wise, the best Easter eggs, as we'll go on to discuss, are things that you couldn't possibly work out exactly what they mean while they're happening. They only make sense in hindsight. They only reveal themselves as they emerge. So I think if we're looking at any Easter eggs, the Easter egging that I'm feeling so far is the new letterhead that is signaling that something is coming. I don't know what it's saying or what it's trying to do, but it's different. So there you go. That's one thing. She's also talking a lot in that letter. I've never heard her so confused or so like blasé about what's coming next with regards to her intentions for her career. She's usually very well thought out. That makes me think that there's something new on the horizon taking up her time, which is why she has lost interest and steam with the Taylor's Versions project. And for some delusional reason, that Miu Miu pink dress is an Easter egg to me. I want it to be.
It is because it has to be. It is because we want it to be, because it says something about what we want and what we like to see. It says, this is the diva, this is the Barbie. And so I think that will be related. And I think that we should celebrate that, because I would like to see
it. It's pertinent. It's very important. And it's saying something that we've all been needing to hear. Now, speaking of things we've been needing to hear, so you know, you've heard from us that the information we have been privy to is that something's happening in September. There was a report by The Sun that said that Taylor was filming a music video in a big indoor space. None of the crew were allowed to hear the song. That is standard fare. And she was filming something for an upcoming project. So The Sun actually, if you can believe it, has a pretty reliable inside source with Taylor. They announced way before anyone else knew that Midnights was being worked on. They also, didn't they announce Maddie Healy? Like, they have sources. And so of all the tabloids that report nonsense, the one that I trust is The Sun, because also they don't go overboard with the rumor. They're very like, it's a small piece of information. It's not like a big story. And I think the smaller the T, the better the source.
No, that's the thing. The more realistic it is, the more probable it is. And I mean,
what's a real source that's close to Taylor and is collaborating with these publications is not going to give away the secret. They're not going to give away the big thing, but they'll let you know that something's coming just to build a little.
A little bit of plumpness, a little bit of a juicy berry, et cetera, et cetera. And it is juicy. And
it's a fluffer.
I'd like to take a bite. I'd like to take a bite. I would like to take a bite of the berry. I think something is coming. I mean, maybe that's the delusion, but I have no reason to think anything otherwise. So
usually we don't clown. That's why it's so unusual. Like, you know, if we're clowning, there may be something on the horizon, and we're kind of clowning.
Well, it is the perfect period of time. I saw, you know how people are always counting the days since Taylor released something last? I saw that this is the second longest she's gone without releasing music since, what was it?
Live Forever, I remember.
Yeah, I Don't Want to Live Forever. And I was like, now that's crazy. But if we're counting us featuring Gracie Abrams as a release. I mean, personally, I'm not.
Which many of us don't. Many of us don't count that.
In which case, it's been even longer. So, yeah, let's go.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to dance.
We'd like to hear. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, because that's really all the speculating that we can do. That's all that we know. So, Madeline, take us into what an Easter egg is for the confused among us.
So an Easter egg in traditional popular culture, for those of you who are so Swiftie-brained, they thought that she invented it. She did not. The Easter egg has been around in media for a very long time. An Easter egg is something that is hidden in a video game, a movie, a television show, any form of media, really. And sometimes it can refer to bonus content that you can find by cracking a secret code. For example, my Evanescence Anywhere But Home live DVD had an Easter egg in it. If you pressed a series of keys on the remote, you could find it, and it was like a deleted scene. I cheered. At age 10, I was cheering. Or sometimes it can refer to hiding something in plain sight for diehard fans. For example, Disney and Pixar do a lot of Easter eggs by hiding characters from their other movies in their newer movies. So that's what it is. Yeah, hidden Mickeys, hidden Buzz Lightyears in Ratatouille, stuff like that. So that's Easter eggs in popular culture. But what are Easter eggs in Taylor's world? They're not necessarily the same thing as what's going on elsewhere. Traditionally, or I should say typically, not even traditionally, typically Taylor uses Easter eggs to give hints or clues about what's coming next in her career. Of course, I'm talking specifically for music, and she's been doing it for a very long time. And in fact, she considers her earliest Easter eggs to be the hidden messages that she used to hide in her album booklets. Now that is a lot closer to a traditional Easter egg. People use these hidden messages to figure out who the songs were about, and this was like a huge part of a new Taylor album release. It was just a fun way for Taylor to communicate with her fans, and also in many cases to be petty. And to say, yeah, maybe I'll only talk about it in my songs, but also I'm going to write your name 100 times in the liner notes so everybody knows it's about you. Now, I miss those days. We need to bring hidden messages back.
I miss them. And the best thing about them was that they were kind of multiverse in the sense that they weren't just contained to one album or one era. Like, a lot of the times the secret messages would connect different songs from different eras to each other. I'm thinking of the Holy Trinity, Forever and Always, Last Kiss and Holy Ground. That was very important to me as a 16-year-old. That was essential information that I needed to have to live my life. And I'm kind of sad that we don't get it anymore because, well, you know what? She did do a hidden message. If you can even pretend to call it hidden on Thank You, Amy, okay? Does that seem like a hidden secret message to you?
It was hidden to me. I actually didn't decode that for like a week. In my defense, there was a lot going on. But I had a lot of other things going on.
You revived the practice to do that.
Not on my watch.
When the Easter egg needs to be included because otherwise the song doesn't make any sense, that's not a good Easter egg.
Say it. Thank You, Amy. And we didn't cheer.
But case in point, spell it out, we would literally be like, what?
And I was like, what? I have to reiterate this. I didn't get it. I didn't know that it said Kim.
You're dead. I'm going to get you, Amy.
Amy, whoever you are, I'll find you. Nonetheless, case in point, it didn't start out as a way to maniacally send fans on scavenger hunts. It started out as something different, and it has very much evolved over the years. And she's left lots and lots of clues over the years, including her earliest years, of what was to come for her next album or era. However, it was mostly just something for the terminally online Tumblr users like ourselves to whip themselves up over, and not an actual thing that Taylor did, if that makes sense to anybody out there. This only really became like, oh my God, Taylor is intentionally doing this all the time around the Lover era because she told us that she was.
And then it stopped being fun and they stopped being released, right? That's the cutoff point.
See how that works? And everything began to change. Taylor went cuckoo bananas over Easter egging. There's honestly no other way to put it. She went balls to the wall in the Lover era. And specifically, she began egging us on to get into Easter eggs more than ever before. And I have to wonder if she was doing this in a quest to make the Lover era bigger and to get people into it more. I think she was, and we could perhaps surmise this from Miss Americana, she was kind of concerned about people not caring anymore, people not wanting to see her make a big pop comeback. So she said, I have to get people interested. Otherwise, what do I have?
Well, it didn't work. Did you get the job? Did you get the number one hit?
Did you get the girl?
You didn't get what you wanted to get out of that. And I think this has introduced an illness to the fandom that we quite literally will never recover from. And I also think it must be really annoying for her because it's like a cage of her own making. And as we'll get into it as you go along, but there are moments where I'm like, that wasn't an Easter egg. You just made that up. You heard someone else say that and you were like, yeah, that was an Easter egg all along. And people think that Taylor, I mean, she is an evil genius, of course, but people project a lot more foresight onto her than she actually has. And because she's done the Easter egg thing before, everything is fair game. Everything is an Easter egg. Everything makes sense. And people forget about things like coincidences. They forget that there are only so many words to use in the English language. They forget that Taylor, like any writer, has specific words that she likes to use. It doesn't mean always that they connect a broader scheme.
Well, the tea is they've got people at the highest levels of Swiftieism entertaining their delusionments, including Rob Sheffield at Rolling Stone. When the guy at Rolling Stone, who appears to be in charge of writing about Taylor Swift at that magazine, if one were to call it that.
Rag.
When he's egging these people on and claiming that there's like some correlation between any song that mentions stars and the song Starlight. What are the 13-year-old girls of the world supposed to think?
Well, it's also, that's rich coming from someone who thinks that Ours came out in 2008 and also thinks that Long Live is about a boy. You see how it's always the nothing knowers who really get into the meth math. It's like people that don't really understand what they're talking about. Those are the ones that love to do the conspiracy theories. And that's true of conspiracy theorists everywhere.
And like I said, Easter egging. There's a little bit of QAnon going on there.
Q for the girls.
It's Q
for the girls and gays.
For the girls, the gays, and the theys. And you know what? To an extent, it is harmless. But, and I would like to touch on something you already touched on, there does come a point where it's like, can she breathe? Can she exist without it being some kind of hidden code for you to decipher? I'm asking you.
There's also a direct line from Easter egging to Gaylorism, which is not a good thing. Like Easter egging can provoke interpretations of Taylor Swift's life that do not benefit her, her career, her fan base, the world. You might say that Easter egging led to that horrific New York Times op-ed about Taylor's a secret lesbian, and that's the truth, and we've been knowing that.
No, I forgot about that. And you saying that, I had like a That's So Raven, like,
oh, it was junk.
I wiped that out of my mind.
We should revisit that.
We should revisit
that.
I think it's going to look even more demented in the harsh light of 2025. Mm-hmm. It's gonna look
even crazier. It was
pre-Travis,
wasn't it? Was that written pre-Travis? I think it was.
I think it may have been. Maybe like.
Well, we've been knowing that the Gaylors are having a meltdown about Travis. I checked in with them the other day, and they are not okay.
And you know what? Thank God that's not my reality, because my reality is I get to look at the beautiful pictures, and I don't think anything about it other than
ignorance is hand art.
Exactly. Now, back to the matter at hand. I think that the Easter egging in Lover really, really took a turn for the absolute darkest when we were all going insane over the Instagram posts. The five holes in the fence, the palm trees, all that kind of stuff. And I think she saw that. And she said, oh, maybe I should kind of like egg this on and I should really get people into this. And this is a really good way to kind of promote the album. Now, the tea is, no matter what she was really doing, I think that, you know, it was coding the album. I don't think she intended five holes in the fence. I don't think she intended five palm trees. I think that she was just trying to code the album. With butterflies and, you know, California, sunshine, summertime, like all that kind of stuff. And we took it to the next level. That's kind of on us. But this is kind of, I feel like we both hold the same amount of responsibility. Us and Taylor, I mean, there's something there.
Taylor also not really talked about Easter egging as like a concept. She would really refer to it more as like teasing or leaving clues. And that's the biggest difference between her version of an Easter egg post-Lover and like pre-Easter egg when they were real and when they actually meant something. A clue is not an Easter egg. A clue is just, I'm going to kick the fifth floor on the elevator. Get me 99. That's a clue, babe. That's not an Easter egg, because what does it reveal or unveil? And was it even right? It wasn't.
It wasn't. And did we ever find out what the coffee, the foam with the clock hands at the end of the...
I'm sure someone did the math. I'm sure someone did it. And I'm sure they did it wrong.
At a certain point, it's like, can we not just wait?
I'm tired of watching a music video and doing work as well. I want to watch a beautiful music video. I don't want to count the tiles. I don't want to look at the latte art and think, what does this mean? I'm not interested.
No, I would like to see some beautiful imagery. I don't want to count anymore. I'm done counting. I don't want to do numerology. And she's trying to make us do numerology all the time now.
It's not fair. I'm a Swiftie.
I don't want to do that.
I don't do math for a reason.
But she released this demented video, which I actually forgot about. I forgot about this. And I found it and I was shocked and appalled. It was during the Lover era. It was that video where she's wearing like the pastel Argyle sweater. And she has the pink tips and the crazy eye makeup.
I can see it in my eyes.
I can see it in full volume surround sound now. So she did a whole video where she explained to the people of the United States of America and beyond what an Easter egg means. To Taylor Swift. This is what she said. The Easter eggs I'm going to talk to you right now about are the kind of cryptic message sending Easter eggs. When you're watching a movie or music video and you notice something in the background and that something leads you to was sort of behind the scenes information, that's an Easter egg. So I love to communicate via Easter eggs. I think the best messages are cryptic ones. So I'm going to lead you through my favorite kinds of Easter eggs to lay. Easter eggs can be left on.
Phrase,
I know.
Way.
She needs help. She needs help. Easter eggs can be left on clothing or jewelry. This is one of my favorite ways to do this because you wear something that foreshadows something else and people don't usually find out this one immediately, but they know you're probably sending a message. They'll figure it out in time. Lots of examples of this exist over the history of my career, which I hope they have put near my face. A specific way you can leave Easter eggs is on nails. But there was a specific occasion where I did a Spotify vertical video for Delicate, and I painted my nails the exact color tones that I wanted the next album to be. Some people picked up on it immediately. Others picked up on it a few months down the line. But it made me feel nice to know that when you plan something that far in advance, it's kind of, you're actually kind of just flexing on planning. That's what an Easter egg does. You're really just like, I planned this 2 years in advance. I would like to say that's the worst thing she's ever said to these people.
Didn't that come out at the beginning of 2018? Girl, we saw you in the studio like 2 months before the album coming out being like, this is my little tickle. You were not thinking about it that far in advance. Please be serious. And this is what it's annoying. Like, she's reclaiming something. I would bet money that when she painted those nails on that day, she had no idea what Lover was, is, or was going to be.
No, she didn't. No. And putting this idea in people's heads that she's planning things out years in advance all the time has led to some crazy theories that have put me in the hospital. Like, you like,
they'll
I
be
felt...
like, this Speak Now Easter egg means tortured poets. And I'm like, she didn't even know her. She never knew her. They're not even the same person.
It doesn't make any sense. And I feel like it kind of like, you know, that quote that she said, I actually think it was in the Lover era, where she was talking about the way that people would talk about her songwriting. And she said, it's like a trick that I do, or it like cheapens my songwriting as if it's like a parlor trick that I do. You're doing it. You're doing parlor trick behaviors to Taylor. We're not supposed to be doing that. I don't think Taylor does parlor tricks. I think Easter eggs, at most, she's doing them maybe 5 months in advance, maybe 5-6 months. And that's what it should be. And I'm happy. I don't need any more than that. I don't need...
She was hinting at Fearless in the womb.
It's like, no, I don't need that kind of Easter egg.
Also, the colors of the nails, that's not an Easter egg. May I again just reiterate, that's not an Easter egg. It's not even really a clue, because what does that tell you about the album? It's pink. Thanks.
It's very upsetting. And she's the one who did it. This video is so upsetting. But she continued. Another way that I really like to use Easter eggs is I like to plant them in set design for photo shoots or music videos. I like to put coded messaging, sort of. You can see like a sign on a building. Oh, wow, I wonder what that's referring to. Or something on a wall. Graffiti. A code that has me opening a door. Could be something significant. And, you know, I really started doing this in music videos much more during the rap era, because I wasn't doing interviews. And so I still wanted to be able to communicate messages to the fans. So the Easter eggs really went overdrive. I think the most Easter eggy video of my entire career thus far was Look What You Made Me Do. Literally, the whole video is just an Easter egg. It's like thousands of Easter eggs. There's still some that people still haven't found. It will be decades before people find them all. She sounds
it sound like she's an archaeologist.
Zodiac.
This is crazy to me. She's like, we need to get the people of the future clued in that they need to be doing the work on this, because no one in this lifetime will ever figure out my genius Easter egg that I planted. And you know what? I'm going to say it. Reputation was the first time ever she did conscious Easter eggs in a music video. That was the first time. I'll stand on business with that. This is not something she's been doing throughout her career. The relationship that she has to it when she's talking about it here is completely different to, I'm posting a photo of my red shoes in the studio. Okay? Complete. They live in different realms.
I think that the Look What You Made Me Do Easter eggs are closer to like a traditional Easter egg, like what we were talking about at the top. They're not the kinds of Easter eggs that she's doing with the red shoes. They're different. And it's like, Reputation was a completely different experience to what she started doing during Lover. And it's like she says, she wasn't really communicating with us. So she did like weird stuff in the music video. Like she referenced something. They're references.
She broke into the Spotify building. Like they are, they're her. It's, you know what that is? It's a response to the things that were being said about her at the time that she had been very quiet about for a long period of time. I will take those Easter eggs. Those Easter eggs I like to see. I don't like to see a Fortnite music video or a Me music video. The Me music video is where it really all went tits up.
Yeah. And it's funny to me that she said, Look What You Made Me Do is the most Easter eggy video. Not in terms of like
volume.
She was Easter egging in the Me music video to the point where it wasn't a music video. It was a pastel
commercial.
Easter egg. It was a commercial.
Well, I think it becomes commercial then. That's the problem with Easter egg extravaganza, Bejeweled too. Like, those aren't music videos. There's not a very interesting story. It doesn't really tell you much about the album. It doesn't add to your understanding of the song, which is what a music video is supposed to do. Instead, it just functions as a vehicle for Taylor Swift to promote another project. And it's like, okay, can we not do that?
But she will. She will. She does. She continues. When the Me music video came out, Taylor said on Twitter, quote, okay, regarding Easter eggs, there are a lot of them in this video. Some you'll find out right away, and some will take a minute to reveal their meaning.
These are not Easter eggs.
Now, considering the fact that we didn't have an album title, an album release date, an artistic direction of any kind, at least not one that we wanted, or anything about the album, and including at the end of it, cherry on top, the song is bad. People went nuts trying to decode the music video, kind of like desperately searching for meaning where there was none. desperately
many such cases
for depth where there was absolutely none. And this music video is the first iteration of the really demented Easter egging, in my opinion, and also the stupidest iteration, because the song and the music video were, you know, they were
one
what
of
they
my
were.
Favorite stupidest thing she's ever done is when she insisted that nobody had clocked the album title yet. It was the hardest Easter egg to find. Meanwhile, it was like the first thing everyone saw, and it could not have been more obvious. That's not an Easter egg. That's a sign.
And
that's
then when
billboard.
She said, nobody's figured it out yet. She loves to do that. It's like when they showed her the 1989 track list that leaked, and she said,
completely
no.
wrong. Totally wrong.
It's completely wrong. It's like, okay, can you just admit that we're a lot smarter and a lot more demented, at least, if not smarter, more demented than
well, it wasn't
you
hard
ever
to figure
would give
out.
Us credit for.
That wasn't even one we needed credit out. For. It was, no. you know, it was in your face.
So the Me music video was the first kind of, the first one where I was looking around saying, I don't think I belong here. I don't think that this is my fandom anymore. Then the You Need to Calm Down music video came out. And I was like, oh, we're gone. Now this is going to be every single thing she does, isn't it? Or if not like the whole career, at least the entire era.
And it was. Every music video
it
from that
was.
Era was chock full of Easter eggs.
It was. I actually forgot about the Man music video.
Yeah.
I thought...
had the same energy as the Ready For It music video with the clues on like the walls and stuff, but no cuntitude served. Like there was zero levels of cunt in that music video.
No, and I didn't
even
get
funny.
I feel like I have something wrong with me. I didn't clock that it was her in the Man makeup until
costume. Yeah, it really doesn't look like her at all. So it's kind of difficult to even. There are so many things
it.
We could have done with the Man music video. There are so many things we could have done, and she did that. So you see how Easter eggs ruin her artistry.
You see how it's the Easter egg that ruined the Lover album cycle.
And
you
it's your
now,
fault.
And
it's
all
your
on you.
Fault. You at home.
I never said five holes in the fence. I never said that.
Well, I think I did say five holes in the fence. I think
no,
we did.
I
we definitely
did.
Said
no, we
five holes
we
in the fence.
We did.
But we didn't
we
know
did.
Better. We didn't did. Know better.
And nobody else knew better either, because this wasn't just the era. It wasn't just Lover. It officially became a thing in Swiftie culture that even normies became aware of. Mason actually said to me the other day, I was talking about like, oh, the possibility TS12 might be coming out. And he was like, she better not start doing any of her weird shit. And I was like, what weird shit are you talking about? And he was like, her demented stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying.
Other people
and I was
find
like,
it boring. Like when it makes news headlines because Swifties won't shut up, if you can believe it, other people don't want to read 27 insane theories about how Taylor Swift is going to release a song on the 27th of whatever the fuck. People actually don't care. And I think it puts people off and it makes Swifties look even more demented than they are.
And unfortunately, it's become like an official part of being a Swiftie. To go hunting for clues, to look for signs. I mean, some people build entire podcasts off of Easter egg hunting, but it doesn't just stop at looking at what's literally in front of our faces, okay? People have begun to do what we unlovingly refer to as myth math, aka making shit
That's
up.
An evolution of a snake coined copyrighted term. I'm also pretty sure that we came up with fuck-ass filter. I thought... that was our creation. And I saw someone else saying it in like a viral TikTok. And I was like, credit, source.
And it's never going to come. They'll mm-mm. never cite
no.
their sources. There are no sources.
Is a beautiful creation that we made, though. That one must always be attributed to Zachary and Madeline.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Somebody has to say it. Somebody has to say that it is meth behavior because it is.
Mm-hmm. It's scaling the walls at the Capitol building on January 6th. That's what it is. Do you realize that you're in bad company?
You're January 6th behaving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that? Do you know how stupid you look?
Now, I would like to remind everybody just one last time. Taylor's idea of an Easter egg is Lover, the word Lover in giant neon letters. Meanwhile, Swiftie's idea of an Easter egg is like Area 51. Top secret classified documents that only they can decode with the top secret language that only they can understand. I mean, you see the disconnect.
They give her too much credit. She's not that intense about it.
Too much credit. And in my opinion, the excessive egging and sleuthing and clowning, as some other people call it, is ruining Swiftieism. I'm saying it. What's
I
going
agree with
on?
You.
on egg and clowning parts of Swift Talk, I think should be in the DSM-5. I think that there's some real scary things going on.
Right. And also now it's not harmless and I'm not saying it's harmful that people do this. It's just annoying. Obviously, let's be realistic about it all. But the reason why people do it now is not because they really want to decipher what's going on. Like, some people's entire thing, existence on social media, is decoding stupid Easter eggs, which means that they force everyone else to be subjected to a psychosis they don't even really believe for clicks. And that's where it gets really annoying. I want to see viral TikToks talking about sister songs. I want to see viral TikToks.
We want to see evolution of snake viral. Evolution of a snake viral.
I don't want to see when Taylor went out today, she wore this ring, and this ring is owned by this company that is ran by a snake who is from Daenerys from Game of Thrones house. And that's the tea. That's what you sound like.
Because that doesn't mean anything to me. That's the thing. No. It doesn't mean anything to any sane person. And I think, and this is not for you people who are genuine fans who are having fun on the internet going, ooh, let's hang out and, like, you know, try and figure out what the next era is going to be. This is not about you. This is about the people who have built entire, like, seriously, careers on Swift Talk, making things.
Now those careers are seriously in jeopardy now that the Eras Tour is over.
This is what I'm talking about.
They are struggling. And
when you have
those are the people
clown,
that we need to watch.
Well, because I feel like they're kind of like piggybacking on a thing. And it's like, no, you're not a girl who's having a good time. You're getting something out of this. The rest of us are here to clap and cheer. What are you doing?
We are getting something out of it too. Well, but you see how we do it in a demure and a mindful way that's based in reality?
Well, here's the other thing. Is that we have some kind of, you know, we have a pedigree. We have day one. We have day one Swiftieism in our back pocket.
We're not going to lie to you for clicks. We're not lying to you for clicks.
We have the encyclopedic knowledge of everything that's ever happened in the history of Swiftism. Not everybody has that. Many of these people, and you can find them out with ease. Mm-hmm. Do they have to Google?
Ask them. If they have to Google what are all the track fives, you shouldn't be listening to them about anything to do with Taylor Swift.
Now that we've ranted and raved, we thought that we should go through Taylor's career and find some of the real Easter eggs that she's really dropped to give people more of an idea of what a real egg is and kind of like make the difference between math-mathing and actually finding something more clear. Now, obviously, this cannot be every single Easter egg that she's ever dropped in the history of ever. I bet you we missed a couple of things. I actually found one that I didn't even know existed. Apparently, she sold some patches before Lover was announced that had dice in the patch pack.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I mean, these are things that I would have forgotten about. So I'm sure we forgot a couple. These are the biggest ones. These are the ones that stood out the most to me. So these are the ones that I did. I mean, I know I just said we have encyclopedic knowledge, but I mean, give us a break.
Well, this is also in the tradition of our favorite kind of Easter egg, which is the first thing we describe to you, not clue. This is Easter egg,
right.
Not clue. Our version, not Taylor's version.
Yeah, our version, not Taylor's version. Now, we're going to start at the tippy top, but I mean, you can imagine there weren't a lot of eggs in the debut era, nor in the fearless era, unless, of course, you count the hidden messages that she was putting in her album booklet. Back then, things were a lot more, you know, innocent, sweet, demure.
Well, no one cared. So she would be like, my album's called Fearless. And no one would cheer. She would be like, anybody care? So there was no point Easter egging when people don't care to delve in.
Right. But the first Easter egg that I remembered, this is one that I remember quite fondly, is, let's go back all the way to the year 2010, 2011. Now, she hasn't yet announced that she's releasing a perfume in the summer of 2011, to my knowledge. She might have announced it, but we didn't quite know what it all was. Now, imagine you see a candidate of Taylor Swift carrying the ugliest bag you've ever seen on the face of the planet. And you think, what a cute outfit. What is that bag? And you forget about it. Fast forward 3, 4, 5 months. Guess what? That's that bag, that patchwork quilt of a bag is the free gift that you will receive when you buy a full-size bottle of Wonderstruck, the perfume. Now, that's an Easter egg.
I wish I had that bag.
Oh, I had it.
I had that bag.
I had it. And I don't know what I did with it. I think I finally decided in college, Madeline, it's time for the ugly bag to go.
She needs to go.
I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. The amount of things that I got rid of in like transitional time periods in my life, because I was like, you're an adult. You should know that. I'm like, why did I do that? To all the kids watching.
I'm a professional Swiftie. So I needed that. There's
nothing wrong with keeping a storage bin full of all your childhood stuff in your mom's basement. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to throw it out. Just saying. But that is, in my memory, the first Easter egg that really, truly gagged me. Because when it came out and I got the bag, I was like, where have I seen this before? Lo and behold, there it is.
The next one is one of my personal favorites. And this happened before the Red Era. And this is back when Taylor used to tweet stuff like, I'm in the studio today, with a picture of her on a guitar. So we would kind of have an idea that she was working on something, which again, lays a bit of context and groundwork for an Easter egg. She posted herself wearing red shoes in the studio on Instagram. And the caption was studio/birthday/new album/red shoes. It was staring us in the face. And at that point, she had had the album title for like 2 or 3 months. So this was a very much in your face Easter egg. And I loved that. It meant nothing to us until we knew the title of the album was Red. But I digress.
I like also that she's wearing striped socks. There's something to that.
Another Easter egg. I mean, you know what this is? This is like an ankle foot version of the 22 outfit she wore on the Red tour. So there you go.
She wore the stripy top,
the red pants, black shoes.
And it's so cunt. I don't even have the words for it. It's so amazing. I love this image.
And this picture is so cunt. It's so cunt.
It is. And she's in the studio. I mean, how much clearer could it be? But you don't know until you know. And that's why I love a good old-fashioned Easter egg. It's more fun to go back and to learn what you didn't know. Yeah. Than it is to just be like, and like start doing math. I'm not doing
I don't like spoilers, and sometimes too much Easter egging veers into the territory of like spoiling a surprise. And I actually don't wish to have a surprise spoiled. I like to be surprised.
I hate it when people ruin my surprises. Mason is like preternaturally disposed to ruining surprises for me. I can't even get into that. He'll like come home and be like, I know something you don't know. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It makes me so. But anyway, we like to be surprised. Now,
we do.
Lest we forget, Red was largely inspired by Joni Mitchell's album entitled Blue. I mean, that's quick math. On the Speak Now tour, while she was in the midst of writing a lot of the songs for Red and beginning to put the album together in her mind, she put on ARM lyrics from Joni Mitchell songs like 5 times. She did it in California, But My Heart Cried Out For You, California. She did it in Texas. It's Love's Illusions, I Recall, I Really Don't Know Love at All, which is probably one
That's
of the most eggy ones
That's
of all time.
The gag.
That's the one. She also did it in Australia. I am on a lonely road and I am traveling. Anybody else? Anybody else? And then again in Australia, we love our lovin', but not like we love our freedom.
Well, the best one is the last one. All romantics meet the same fate somehow. That to me is like such an inspiration for the Red prologue that she wrote in the lyric booklet. There is so much of a tied connection there. Also, I would like to enter into evidence after all that we've been through. I know we're cool. At the show that Joe Jonas was at, which ended up in literally that moment, that show ended up inspiring Holy Ground. So
it's an egg.
You came to the show in San Diego. It's an egg. That's an egg.
You came to the show in San Diego. How much more eggy does it get? We're flipping eggs on the flat top right now.
Can you hear the sizzle?
Do you like them over hard, over medium, or over easy, girls? I like mine sunny side up. Thank you.
Not scrambled the way these bitches be having them.
Now, to be fair, this could have also been Easter egging for the Joni Mitchell biopic that would never come, but that's irrelevant. That
doesn't matter.
Doesn't exist. It's out of the canon, so we don't have to talk about that. But either way, her being obsessed with Joni Mitchell really didn't mean anything. Like, oh, she loves Joni Mitchell. Okay. Until all the pieces came together when the album came out. I mean, that's being a Swiftie. That's Easter egging.
We love to see it. That's when we
love to see it.
Red, to me, Speak Now, Red, those Easter eggs, also a lot of the, and we didn't put this in, but the pictures of her when she's at the beach, she's just had her hair chopped and she's opening her purse and all the clamshells are falling out. That was like 100% High in His Port. Easter egging, everything has changed, Easter egging. She didn't even know she was doing that at the time. But in fact, she was. Another thing that Taylor would do, she used to do this, if you can believe, she would talk at length. She would give like long interviews. And in the in-between periods of time, like about 6 months after the album came out, that's when you really need to start paying attention to see what's coming on the horizons. So in a YouTube interview in September of 2011, she says that she's writing actively. And when she's asked about unreleased songs and specifically songs that she's put aside, she says, "My favorite thing is the newest thing, but I'm more self-aware now." But then she talks about how she might in the future, if people are interested in these songs, come up with them again and reformulate them in a different topic. And she mentions specifically Sparks Fly as an example here, which, as we all know, was written in debut and she reworked and it came out in Speak Now. So that is an unintentional, fun Easter egg to look at in the rearview mirror for the Taylor's Versions project. And it's not so far-fetched because I think that unreleased material has always, I'm sure in this interview, she says she writes between 40 and 50 songs for an album. So like, it's probably been on her mind, what should I be doing with these things before she started giving them away? But yeah, so she said that the old songs can be good enough to be released as new songs. She also talks about not wanting to repeat herself. And this is before she's making Red, right? After Speak Now, never making the album, same album twice. She talks about how she's really interested in experimenting with sounds, hoping that her fans will grow with her as she matures in her music. She's like, "I'm about to do dubstep. You don't know. You don't know, but I'm about to do you really aren't ready for this." And she said, "I don't care about those." She's talking about the covers that she was doing on the Speak Now tour. And she said, "Overall, I don't care about the genre of a song or whether people think it's country music or not. I just love a great song spoken like a girl who is about to become a pop star."
Now, moving right along into the 1989 era. Now, a little bit of a disclaimer. Because 1989 was such a big shift, it's hard kind of to decide what's an Easter egg and what's merely just her existing in a period of transformation. But I decided that we're going to pontificate. And we're just gonna say whatever we want to say. So every album cycle, up to this point and all the way up into the future in 2025, where we are now, there's always some genius who comes up with their own idea of what the new album's theming or even title would be. For Red, they cooked up an idea in their heads that We're Never Ever Getting Back Together was actually going to be called If Kisses Were Wishes.
The worst song title of all time.
And I knew it had to be fake. I knew it did. I was like, there's no way that's reality. No. Not on my watch.
That wouldn't even be a debut outtake.
I also believe a Kelsea Ballerini song called Roses was being passed around. And people claimed that it sounded like Taylor for some reason. And they said that this was going to be something from Reputation. And I said, not on my watch.
Not on my watch. Can I remember imagine? This. It did kind of sound like her.
It did. And that's the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it
sometimes
sound like
fake
her?
Easter eggs will go around. I don't think Madeline remembers this, but also during the Red 1989 era, this song called you do remember this, "I'm All Right," was circling around, and everybody was like, "This is Taylor's unreleased demo about Haler," and it kind of sounded like her. And it was a song that was like written in the style of Taylor. I need to find it and dig that up because that gagged a lot of people, and it was fake.
Well, the only one that I remember is a little ditty called The Haler Song by a genius songwriter, singer-songwriter named Halsey. Ashley, we remember.
We knew she was trouble when she snagged Styles. We knew it.
We knew it. Halsey, thank you so much for that gem. We loved it. Thank you. Now, another good example of people cooking up, you know, whole entire albums in their own head, the Karma album theory. Has anybody ever heard of this? It's always based, these like albums and like, oh, I figured out and I've cracked the code. It's always kind of based on unrelated stimuli. For example, Taylor believes in karma. She also likes to wear the color orange. That means that there's an album called Karma out there that is themed to the color orange.
False correlation.
False equivalence.
The karma theory is the stupidest one to me because it's also the most robust one. It's the one where people think they have the most information about it. And I'm like, do you realize that all the information that you're repeating and spreading over and over again is stuff that was made up? It was made up. It was literally, it's not real. It's a movie. You're an adult. You should know that. It's not real. I have a whole video debunking it. And still people come into my comments to this day and say it's real. And to that I say, where the fuck is it?
And you know what? It kind of reminds me of that scene in The Devil Wears Prada where Meryl Streep's Miranda Priestly is talking about how, in fact, you're wearing the sweater that was created for you by the people in this room. Mm-hmm. That's what I think about the Karma album theory when new fans are doing it. It's like, we like invented that. And we know it's made up.
It's been
and
debunked.
We know it's made up.
That's one of the ones they love to go into. That's one of their favorites.
They love it. And fans have always and will always do this. Now, it's harmless fun to an extent, but they have never, not once, been right. But in the 1989 era, they got pretty close. And it actually kind of freaks me out. And they got kind of close to what the 1989 vibe was going to be because Taylor was coding 1989 and its vibe so hard before it came out that people almost got it right. In the late winter and early spring of 2014, before the album was coming out, before it was even announced, really, she was getting photographed, leaving a dance studio fairly often. Assumptions were that it was for a music video, and it was, but I also think she felt like if she was going to do a pop album, then she really needed to learn how to dance. A little bit.
Also, she was also in rehearsals for the Shake It Off music video, duh. But I think at that point as well, the reason why people started to get more confident with their assumptions is because Taylor invited a bunch of fans to be in the Shake It Off music video, and she called it Project Sparrow, and some idiot that was invited to the event leaked that this was happening. Thankfully, all they knew about the project that was going on was that it was called Project Sparrow. But that gave all of us the ammunition that we needed to say, something's going on.
And thank God. I love it when I have ammunition. I love it. Leaks, you know, a little, just little pieces of information.
Yeah, she's filming a music video in a big open space. Yep. I love to hear it.
Yep.
Don't give me any more information. That's all I want.
So that's all going on. And then lest we forget, Taylor was walking around New York City pretty much constantly in the spring and summer leading up to 1989. She was paparazzied nearly every single day that summer and that spring. I discovered when I was really digging into it. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October.
Fashion show. Where was she going? I'm like, what were you doing? Where were all these places?
I'm always like, am I like the biggest potato lump on a log in the world that I'm not going out in my model clothes every single day? Because who can look like
sometimes
this?
She would get in the car and drive around the block and come back.
Well, why not? It's a beautiful outfit. Just a beautiful outfit.
See it.
And
do that more.
I wish that I could do that. I'm telling you that for free. Imagine if you could get, not that I'm like giving the paparazzi anything to like be proud of or anything like that. They're evil, et cetera, et cetera. But imagine if you're like, I really like my outfit and I really want a picture of it, but there's nobody around to take a picture. You just walk outside.
There you go.
Thank you. So plus, it was a noted big deal that she had bought an apartment in New York City. It was also a noted big deal that she had cut her hair. So we knew that a seismic shift was incoming. Are any of these things individually Easter eggs?
Haircuts are always an Easter egg to me. The bangs for the first time.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Easter egg.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Easter egg. We've been knowing that.
Additionally, she was showing her midriff. This was a big deal. I can't express that to you.
We hadn't seen that before.
Now, I went back and I looked and I was like, is this really the first time that she wore an actual true blue crop top set? It is. Because the ones before this were 3/4 tops and not as hardcore. This was crazy. I'm telling you, I thought I was going to pass out when I saw it. This was
3 inches
June
of stomach.
18th. And I said, oh my God, it's happening. I didn't know what.
You know what's so crazy? In hindsight, I'm like looking at this outfit and I'm like, it's really not that special. But when this happened, this was like the most iconic thing that had ever happened in the history of the world.
Oh,
she had it in multiple colors. Like this was all over Tumblr.com.
And it was Gorgina. And I would say that today. I think it's the most beautiful outfit.
I stand by it. It's gorgeous.
And she's the beautiful queen that we always knew that we needed. Now, after that, I mean, there's many pictures that were taken. We can go into picture, but there's one in particular that kind of stands out to me, and it's this picture of her walking around in New York City with a bunch of red balloons. In my memory, I thought this was for a photo shoot. I was in TaylorPictures.net looking for the photo shoot. No. This is just her with her red balloons, and I clapped my cheers.
This was for the Target commercial.
But it wasn't a photo shoot. That's what I'm saying. This looks like a photo shoot picture.
She was just walking around.
She was just walking around. Pretty 1989 coded, if I do say so myself.
Oh, I love this image.
She was doing shit like this pretty much.
She's doing her bag, her weird bag holding.
Yep. She was doing it like this pretty much constantly, and all of it was intentional, and all of it was incredibly cunty. So for the first time in their entire lives, and the last time, I would like everybody to know, the fans managed to sort of add two and two together, and they cooked up a scheme that this fifth album by Taylor Allison Swift would be called Skyline, based on her being obsessed with New York. I did too! I literally thought it was real. Based on her being obsessed with New York, which has one of the most famous skylines in all of the world. And I mean, this was actually a good idea. I'll give them that. This is one that actually makes sense.
It was this in black and white. For some reason, they thought it was also going to be called Black and White, which again, horrific name for an album. But Skyline, that clocked.
No,
also because one of the first official pics we got from 1989 era was Taylor on the ferry going like this. It was the 1989 tour photo as well. She's wearing her sunglasses, her white sunglasses, and there's a skyline in the background. That's why it went like that. And you know what? Wasn't wrong.
And it works. And additionally, one of the pictures that they used to promote the live stream, or it was the picture that came out before the live stream, was her standing on a balcony. I saw these two pictures, the live stream promotional picture and this picture they posted right before the live stream. And I was like, oh my God, they're right. Oh my God, they were right. It is going to be called Skyline. I was shitting my pants. However, right before the live stream leaked, I'm talking about 15 minutes, right before the live stream started, a ne'er-do-well leaked the title of the album being 1989.
I know who that is.
And so, and many of us do. And many of us were there physically. Many of us were there physically when that occurred.
Some people like to spoil the fun.
Some people like to spoil the fun. And you know what? I would like to pose one question to that individual if they're watching somewhere out there in the world. Did you get the job?
Did you get the girl? You ruined my surprise 15 minutes before it happened.
Did you get the job? And the answer is no. And the answer is no. So that is the story of the closest Taylor fans have ever come to solving the case. They almost had it. I'm going to give it to them.
But even so, they didn't. That's the gag of it all, is that the album is called 1989. Like, the thing that you got closest to was a song about a city with a skyline. That's the closest that you got. And I want everyone to know that that's the closest you're ever going to get, because it's not possible to guess what Taylor's going to do. Do you hear that?
You can't. You can. This is the closest that you can get is Skyline.
That's not.
You're never
going to
guess the title. You're never going to get it.
No.
Is this that time something you want?
The aesthetic you might get, but you're not going
to
get.
Because she wants you to catch the vibe. Can we get your vibe? Et cetera, et cetera. She wants you to
that's
get it.
Again, that's not an Easter egg. She's saying it.
She's saying it. Period. Now, that's the Skyline theory. That's all the coding of the vibe of the album, et cetera, et cetera. But there's some other smaller Easter eggs that she was doing. So on Instagram, she posted, "For whatever we lose, like a you or a me, it's always ourselves we find in the sea." Famous quote. Does anybody recall what that kind of sounds like? She lost him, but she found herself. And somehow, that was everything.
You could view this as a this love Easter egg too, if you would like to. Also, she had, and this wasn't really an Easter egg, but at the end of the Red Era, she said, "There are far, far greater things ahead than anything we leave behind." She loved to post like little quotes and lyrics handwritten, and I think that we should get back to doing that. I miss it.
Oh, we need it.
She tweeted Lord lyrics in that, like, right before 1989 was really going into full promo swing. It was from that song Yellow Flicker Beat. "I'm locking up anyone who ever laid a finger on me." I think this was mere days after the Rolling Stone shoot came out and the Bad Blood nonsense had been kicked into overdrive. So she was like, "I just want to let you know, Katy Perry, I'm coming for you. You're not safe."
And I cheered personally. I also cheered
for
Yellow Flicker Beat. Is one of the crazy. I love that song. Hunger
Great
Games.
Song.
Anybody? Anybody?
Great song. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much to our good sister, Lord.
Oh, and then we had a tweet right before the iHeartRadio Music Awards. "I was so happy tonight. It made it impossible to remember the times in the past that I haven't been." This to me is like Easter egg of narrative pivot. We're shifting away from "I'm so sad, I'm so heartbroken" to "I'm so girl boss, independent, love my life." And we like to see it.
And I was cheering. I remember at that Our Heart Radio performance, we thought that she was going to perform new songs.
And she instead brought out a horn section to do 22 and "We Are Never" and "Trouble" with horns.
Interesting. I loved her outfit.
I loved her outfit. That was the debut of the Love Story 1989 rework. We like to see that.
It was amazing. So it's mostly hearts all around. But now we come into the Reputation era. How many Easter eggs do you really think there were? None. Before the album came out,
nobody physically saw me for a year.
One. Because as she claims, quote unquote, nobody physically saw me for a year. Now, here's
that ain't
the tea.
True.
I'm recently kind of doing a lot of sort of investigations into that particular year, that particular time period. Oh, we were seeing her.
She was around.
She was around.
I think actually, you know what? I'm going to say, I don't want to live forever. Rep Easter egg. Let's throw that into the conversation.
Okay.
Let's throw that in.
I'll take that. I love, you know what? Not always the best, although I do kind of really like I Don't Want to Live Forever ever since it's like part of the lexicon of like my Eras Tour experience. I like it a lot more than I used to, but I've always loved, even when I really dislike the song, the music video.
Oh my God.
It's
and that
so
is huge rep Easter
good.
Egging.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my God. The lip, the outfit, everything about
She's
it.
Literally never looked better. I'm not joking.
Yeah. That lip, Pat McGrath Labs.
That should have been the Dress music video. It really should.
Oh, yeah. We're never going to get a music video like that again, are we?
No, because everything has to be 85 characters in Chinese on the wall.
I don't want it. I don't want it. I just want a beautiful red lip and a beautiful look. Am I asking
for too
much?
Look gorgeous and fuck up a hotel room. Come on now.
Now, I Don't Want to Live Forever is a really good Easter egg. I hadn't even thought of that. But otherwise, was she egging? Well, no. But like she said, what we were talking about at the top of the episode, Reputation does have a lot more traditional style Easter eggs, as in things hidden in the music videos and references made to past events, things that happened, things that she wants to sort of air out, things that she wants to make a comment on. But she's not really doing clues for it before the album's coming out. In fact, like when she would have been quote unquote Easter egging Reputation, she was, as a matter of fact, in court. So there's no eggs.
That's not an Easter egg.
Don't even try to look for one. So obviously, Look What You Made Me Do. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Like she said, I mean, Taylor Mountain, that's one giant Easter egg. The dollar in the bathtub symbolizing the dollar she won in her court case. Tea time with snakes all around her. The I Heart TS shirt famously wore by Tom Hiddleston. She's also referencing her quote unquote Nazi Barbie era. Those are the media's words, not mine. Not mine. I did not choose to say that. That's just
we would never
what
say
people
that about
were calling her. No. So that is as eggy as it got. And that wasn't about clues. That was about I'm commenting.
Mm-hmm. I have something to say. The real clue was the snake video on Instagram.
Now
in
that,
three parts.
That was a gag. I still remember where I was when that posted. I was
same.
I've
never been alive like that before.
No, my whole body was set on fire. I was planning my trip to California, actually. And I was like, I don't have time for this. But of course I made time.
One has to have time for that. When the quantity is of that magnitude, you need to put down what you're doing and pay attention.
And I did. And honestly, I loved the Reputation announcement. There were no eggs. It was a total surprise. I gagged. So I kind of, you know, there's something to that. There's something to an eggless announcement. I'm going to say it. Anybody else agree? Put some W's in the chat.
Let's look at another great album that had no Easter eggs that was just announced, Folklore.
Let's
talk about that.
Do you guys know anything about that?
Heard about that?
No, you don't. You don't. Mm-mm. So that was Reputation. Beautiful, never been done before, et cetera, et cetera. Now we're into Lover.
Sigh.
It was like she was making up for everything that she didn't do in the Reputation era. This was egg extravaganza. And I guarantee you, again,
interesting though. This is the problem with these Easter eggs. It was so boring.
No. So the first eggs, the Instagram posts, five holes in the fence, five palm trees. So all of the math that we were doing meant nothing. But like I said, she was actually trying to clock the vibe. She wanted us to catch the fucking vibe. And we didn't. We were too busy counting.
We were looking at how many stairs
there
were.
There's a lesson to be learned. Mm-hmm. There's a lesson to be learned from the five holes in the fence. But the butterfly migration post for iHeartRadio and her entire outfit.
Okay.
She actually said something to the effect of like how she thought butterflies symbolized change and new beginnings, which is what she felt like Lover was. So the butterflies were technically an Easter egg in her mind.
I don't think that was a very well executed album theme for her, but I'll let her cook.
So then, of course, when she posted some pictures from her Elle photo shoot, one of the captions she posted was "me" with an exclamation point. And we didn't think anything of that. I'll tell you that for free.
I thought it was stupid at the time. Even before I knew it was a song title, I said, huh?
When I found out it was a song title,
The mural is one of the worst days of my life.
So it's a butterfly mural. So lo and behold, a giant butterfly appears in downtown Nashville, and Swifties began to flock to it because they put two and two together and they thought, gee, there's a giant ugly pastel butterfly in downtown Nashville. I wonder who's responsible for that.
There's a cat on it. Who could be responsible for this?
I wonder who has anything to do with this. So it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen, but I do think she wanted it to be filled with Easter eggs, and it's not. It's literally
just cats
and rainbows and flowers, and it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
What lover Easter eggs are. That's actually the best example of a lover Easter egg. Nothing.
So then as the music video is, you know, getting set to come out, she begins to post the ugliest Claire's photo shoot pictures you've ever seen. She wanted us to gag.
And we weren't.
And we weren't. These photos are...
They're ugly. The filters
ugly.
I'm saying go back to the fuck-ass filter because
It's shocking.
Now, the time cover, gag.
Oh, the time cover
is a gag. Not an Easter egg, but gag.
The time cover is a gag. So is the outfit she wore to the Time gala. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's what it was.
Yes.
The pink and yellow outfit. Now, that's a lover outfit that was executed with precision and perfection.
And aplomb.
And aplomb.
You did it, girls.
Now, the music videos. This actually makes me mad. I get really, like, PMO when I start thinking about the Easter eggs in the You Need to Calm Down and Me music videos. Nonetheless, so at the top of the video in Me, she says, J-Sweet, come. Brendan says, you need to calm down. She says, J-Sweet, come. That's one. There's framed pictures of chicks on the wall because of the chicks feature that's going to be on the record. That's kind of a good one, but I don't give her the flower because it PMO. So there's lover PMO. And a giant neon sign. The opening of the snake turning into butterflies. There's actually a huge Christmas tree, which I think is egging Christmas Tree Farm, which had yet to be announced.
Congrats.
Congratulations on that. There's Benjamin the cat. There's her wearing cowboy boots. She thought that was an Easter egg. I didn't think that it was, but I'm going to let her say it. I could literally go on and on and on, but all of it's pointless. Mm-hmm. It's pointless.
And to waste it on a song like Me too. It points out how stupid the Easter eggs are.
So when she's talking about Easter eggs on her live stream for the album, she said this. I'll never forgive her for saying this quote. We do a lot of numerology around here. Maybe
don't.
Make
you
a
do.
Point to count the you briefcases do. Circling around my head in the briefcase scene. Maybe make a point to count the clouds in the lobby thunderstorm scene. I literally don't know what she's talking about. I'm not
Maybe
counting
Maybe make
it.
A point to silence yourself and to put the pipe down and rejoin us in the world of the sober and the curious.
She literally created the monsters we see before us.
And we're not cheering.
So then we get into You Need to Calm Down. This is even more ridiculous than the Me music video. Ellen gets a tattoo of Cruel Summer. Okay. Hayley Kiyoko is an archer in the music video. Gee, I wonder what that's Easter egging. Ryan Reynolds painted Stonewall.
What is that an Easter? Do you see what I mean? It's like, okay, when everything is an Easter egg, nothing is an Easter egg.
This is what is really the point. When everything is an egg, nothing is an egg. It has to be deliberate, intentional, and scant. The less Easter eggs there are, the more special they feel like. When everything means something, then it's just like, and it kind of like dilutes the music videos, I feel like. I mean, not that the You Need to Calm Down video was gonna like win awards.
Karma music video. Destroyed by Easter eggs. The only Midnight's music video that wasn't kind of completely metabolized by Easter eggs was Lavender Haze, and it's the best one.
And it's the best one. You see how that happens? But
it's
I
just
tell
a normal
you anything,
video.
They're out there, and they're egging.
Oh, they are. And
well,
sure
they did. They did try to egg Koi Fish.
She had the TV. She also had the TV. That was like the weather forecast. Like there was something going on there, but it wasn't the point of the music video.
You see how that works? Unlike Bejeweled, that I can't even talk about.
No, that's none of my business.
I can't even talk about the fact that
Fortnite
she
too.
Completely, like, almost like took hostage her own music video to promote another album is crazy to me.
Bejeweled is also such a good song to have a music video for.
And yet.
So why?
And yet. So this is one that I always think about because it's one of the most ridiculous ones from the Lover era. She was doing 300 people know behaviors at the Lover secret sessions. And she told, I can't remember which secret session it was, but I feel like I knew somebody who went to it. Because they told me that she said, oh yeah, I was Easter egging on this day and nobody noticed. And it's a picture of her in jean shorts, dark denim shorts, and a denim sort of like top. And there's dice on the back of the shorts. And that is an Easter egg to her.
They're that's saying it adds Easter up egg. To 7, but it actually adds up to 9 when you look at it in its totality. So I'm not accepting that.
There's a patch and there's a pair of dice. This came out before Lover was announced. It's like a Reputation patch set. And there's like a pair of dice. And it does add up to 9.
It doesn't add up to 7. They're saying it adds up to 7. Her mind. And it's like, well, actually, your mind.
Your mind.
Broken.
Your mind.
Your visual processing. This, not correct.
Her considering this pair of dice on her shorts to be an Easter egg is when I knew that she was lost. Like, she was in the sauce.
And
she
it's
was
tiny.
Gone.
It's minuscule. Yeah, it's,
it doesn't. And it also is like, what does it mean? Okay, you mentioned dice and Cruel Summer. Now what?
It says nothing about the album or even the song Cruel Summer.
So then she really went overboard on the Entertainment Weekly cover. This is so funny because I Googled Taylor Swift Entertainment Weekly cover. This is the first one that came up. I was like, oh, people are looking at this a lot, huh? I bet they are. It's a great picture, but this is a little bit much. Why is Troye Sivan there?
The Gaylors love this picture. They love this picture.
What do they get out of this?
There's a rainbow heart and a lot of women.
Oh, okay.
How that
well, there's
totally
also Troye Sivan. There's also Troye Sivan.
Well, he's
Sivan.
Gay. And don't you know that all gay people know each other and are friends? Didn't you know that?
Well,
you should know
I've
that. You're an
still
adult.
To this day, I'm trying to figure out why he's there.
I actually don't get it. And this is where it's not Easter egg. She just puts stuff that she likes on the jacket. Like, how is Meredith and Christina an Easter egg? How is Dun Dun from Law and Order an Easter egg?
Quickly. Yeah. How is that an Easter egg? So I get friends.
You have
and
awesome
I get
here.
Calm.
And me has already come out. So that's not an Easter egg because we know about it.
I can't look at this for any longer.
No, I'm silent.
I'm sorry. I'm looking
it's
away.
It's stupid.
I'm looking
I feel
away.
Dumb when I look at these things.
I'm looking away. So those are the Lover eggs that I dared to bring up. I honestly think I'm only scratching the surface. But there's only so much I'm willing to go back into. So
that's your right as an American citizen.
And I think I picked out the biggest one. So everybody just kind of like let me live. Now let's get into some real Easter eggs in the folk Evermore era. On April 27th, she posted not a lot going on at the moment.
Liar!
Now, we only read this as literal because there was literally not anything going on at the moment on account of the fact that it was the COVID-19 pandemic and mostly everybody was in quarantine lockdown. So that's a good Easter egg. Now that's
we
a good
thought
Easter
all
egg.
She was doing was strangling the wine glass, but no, there was more.
Oh, there was more. So that's kind of like the only quote unquote Easter egg for folklore. For Evermore, she did a little bit more egging. These are good eggs. So at the AMAs, she sent in a video submission for, and she's like in a studio and she's turned around at the start of it so we can see her braid.
Gag.
I didn't think anything of that when I saw it. I thought it was weird. I was like, why did she do that? But I couldn't have ever come up with that. That's an Easter egg. That is an Easter egg. On November 22nd, she posted again, not a lot going on at the moment. She's pictured in a cabin in that post. I can't
when
remember
she says
what
that,
I
you should
about
run.
This.
If you hear that sentence, you need to start running.
Yeah.
She's going to get you.
And then a week before she announced Evermore, in a response to Rolling Stone naming Folklore as one of the best albums of 2020, she posted a tweet that said, throws myself to the base of a willow tree. Now, these are eggs. These are eggs.
This is what I like to have.
And there's only a few of them. You see how that works? And they all make sense. You see how the math is so fast? And they're beautiful and gorgeous. And she's a genius. And this is when I say mastermind.
Mm-hmm. The Midnight's ones are really good too. Before we started getting into like actually pre-album announcement, good Midnight's Easter eggs.
Yes. Now, the first iteration of a Midnight's Easter Egg is when she gives her speech at New York University on May 18th of that year. There's actually more than I remembered when I went back and read the speech. So she says, "I said to you earlier that I don't ever offer advice unless someone asks me for it. And now I'll tell you why. Never take advice from someone who's falling apart, et cetera, et cetera." Then she said, quote, "Not being invited to the parties and sleepovers in my hometown made me feel hopelessly lonely. But because I felt alone, I would sit in my room and write the songs that would get me a ticket somewhere else. Something different bloomed, writing in my room. I play my songs in the parking lot. Period. Quote, I'm trying to tell you that losing things doesn't mean just losing. A lot of the time when we lose things, we gain things too. Everything we lose is a step you take." And then she says, "Scary news is you're on your own now. Cool news is you're on your own now. You're on your own, kid. I mean, this is quick math." And then one last one, quote, "As long as we are fortunate enough to be breathing, we will breathe in, breathe through, breathe deep, breathe out." Now, that is a direct line from Labyrinth.
Wait, to ruin it by throwing in a line from the flop song. Okay. Thank you, Taylor.
I actually forgot that when somebody reminded me that she quoted Labyrinth, I was like, nobody ever talks about that because nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody GAF.
So the NYU speech is a great Easter egg fest. And it's so, I love it because there's meaning. And it's like, you can tell she was really thinking about these things and she really felt them because she talked about them multiple times. So I was like, you know what?
That's another thing we got to revisit. That's another thing we must revisit.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Now, This Love TV came out before Midnights, and in the caption for the, it's coming out at midnight for This Love TV, she stylized midnight with a bunch of spaces in it to emphasize it. Easter egg. Then she started the first Midnight's Mayhem with me with "It's me, hi." That's how she started the first one. She showed up to the VMAs literally what? Bejeweled. Now that's an Easter egg.
This pink venom.
I just serious so hard when I remembered like the full
the full picture of the scope of what happened that evening.
The full picture of what happened.
That was a big night for Madeline.
Nonetheless, so in that night, after she said, "There's something coming at midnight," when you went onto Spotify and you listened to her music, all of her songs that had the word midnight in it, midnight was capitalized.
I like that.
It's cute. You know, it's fun. And then I think we have to bring it up. Her showing up to the 1975 show to play Antihero was, in fact, an unintentional Easter egg for both Bejeweled and for the Torture Poets Department. I think we would be remiss if we didn't say it.
Well, let me take you that and raise you one. Playing the City was an Easter egg for 1989 TV.
let me take you that and raise you one. Playing the City was an Easter egg for Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
What? Well, yes. Let me take it to a place of delusion. That was an Easter egg for Taylor Swift as a secret lesbian.
And you lost me. You see how it happens? Everybody's having a good time and laughing, and then someone shows up.
I love Easter egg. Yeah. Gaylor shows up. My God, someone farted. He farted.
Oh my God. So Midnight's Easter eggs, they actually weren't bad. You know what? Looking at them, no. She really gathered herself, and she presented the eggs in a very dainty fashion. And
demure
said,
manner,
exactly.
Demure.
And to torture poets, maybe I'm making this up in my head, but I think she was dressing very collegiate and tortured poets asking candidates as she was going to the studio. To be fair, it was fall, but I think it means something.
I think
it means something. This outfit in particular that I'm looking at here, the boot, the oversized sort of like college,
rugby
almost like
shirt.
Rugby shirt. Tell me that's not torture poets. You can't.
Oh, I'm with you. I am picking up what you're putting down. Also, you could argue that there are many surprise song selections from the Eras Tour that are Easter eggs on specific days.
Now, that's something that we could really cook on. That's something that we could
when
really...
she was just doing, you know, she loses me when the mashups start, then it's no longer Easter egging to me because she's doing something else. Actually, you know what, the surprise songs at first when they were mood rings, that was a real Easter egg. When she started playing mashups to gag people, that's a Taylor Swift Easter egg.
You know, we were actually present for some Easter egging when she played "I Don't Want to Live Forever." We were eggs.
That's actually one of the biggest egging moments of the tour.
And we
and
literally...
And the lakes, and I wish you would, too.
Eggs. We were fried eggs when we walked out of that stadium. Both nights.
No idea. And that's just the way I like them.
So now a couple more torture poets eggs. So now this is one that I initially thought everybody was being stupid and reading too much into, but the peace sign thing that she kept deliberately doing and putting emojis in her posts, and it was at the Grove. I was like, you guys are reading way too much into this. But then when I saw it at the Grove, I was like, uh-oh.
What
does it mean?
Why did no one guess two albums? Why did that not come up as a guess? Because you
I couldn't
never
tell you. I didn't know what I thought it.
You never can get it because it's a real Easter egg, I guess.
So the Grove pop-up, that was an Easter egg hunt. Jake Shane notably showed up and looked for clues like it was January 6th.
Didn't find any.
Well, here's kind of the tea. There really wasn't anything to find. They weren't
the Grove
Easter
pop-up,
eggs.
They weren't even spelling, right? They were misspelling words.
I will never forget.
Those people have the caliber to be hiding an Easter egg? No.
Yeah, and people still think that the fact that her birthday was shown, like, that was an Easter egg. Is a girl not allowed to have a birthday?
Don't you know that Taylor's obsessed with her birthday? She's, like, obsessed with the Roman numerals of her birthday. 13/12/1989. She loves it.
And she loves it. Now, the last one, and probably, like, the most true Easter egg on Grammys night, before she even showed up, her website showed an error code, and in the error code, in the jumble of words, the word red herring could be found. What do you call that?
That's an Easter egg.
That's an Easter egg. That's an Easter egg. Now, you notice I didn't do Taylor's versions because I don't believe that those are Easter eggs. I think
that's
whipping people
clues
up into a frenzy.
Those are clues. That's clues. When you're just egging about something being released, that to me really isn't an Easter egg. It has to be something substantial about like what we're talking.
Plus, so many of the Reputation TV Easter eggs turned out to be fake because they didn't mean anything. Because it was never going to come out.
Doesn't exist. She isn't real, girl.
At that point, she was mocking us. And I give her my full support, by the way. But by all means,
take advantage of the people. Whip them up. I mean, it's a good way to get like free attention. If I could get people to give me attention like that, maybe I would try.
Well, I was asking Mason. I said, Mason, will you propose to me again fake in Las Vegas so I can have the attention? And he said no. So
Mason,
I know. No, PMO. I was like, okay, fine. I think he thinks he can't do it well enough. It's like, well, I would sell it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and he'd be like, well, let me give you directions, baby. I'm an actress starring in your bad dreams.
Yeah, exactly. So I did include, just for everybody's, you know, knowledge for posterity, a couple of things that I think are not Easter eggs. The Lover House.
Not an Easter egg.
Not an Easter egg.
Not
and actually,
an Easter egg.
I was actually thinking about how the Lover music video is the only one from that era that is not an Easter egg hunt. There's
nothing.
That's
not what they say.
To be found.
Well, also Swifties can't decipher between a metaphor and an Easter egg. So they're like, she's in the goldfish bowl because she's in the public eye. Yeah, that's a metaphor. That's not an Easter egg.
I'm sorry. That's really killing me. I never heard that before. Yeah, that's not an Easter egg, ladies and gentlemen. The Lover House, and she burned it on the Eras Tour, and people still wouldn't take the hint.
She said, it's not what you think it is.
Enough. That's what she said, and yet they continued. I also believe very firmly, excessive numerology. Okay, I'm not talking about 7 plus 4 plus whatever the hell equals 13. That is probably something. If it adds up to 13, you might be onto something. Anything else, I don't know what you're talking about.
If you're
about
getting into triple digits with your math, like if you're...
You're scaring me.
You detected a clue that goes into triple digits with days away, you're wrong. And you're doing
you're
something
wrong
that you shouldn't be doing.
And it's always been wrong. Remember the theory that she released a Taylor's version every, what was it, like 8 months or something like that?
Wrong. That was like quickly proven wrong.
And
you know
yet
what?
They continue.
I'm always saying, where are the fake news people with the egg on their face when these things happen? They just keep going. They just keep it moving.
That's the
I'm
thing. There is no shame.
Swifty delusion accountability check.
Well, somebody, we need to make an account. We need to make an account where we say this person was wrong.
We make our James Charles Tati video, no more lies.
We are tired of the lies because there really is no accountability. This is why I'm telling you guys have to be wary of these people.
Yeah, if I had all the time in the world, I would do an audit of the biggest mathers, and I would give you a percentage of time that they are wrong about something when they guess, and it's gonna be 99.9. It might even be 100% because none of these people have ever figured anything out.
No, and you know what? That's kind of part of the fun of being a Swiftie is the surprise. I don't want, you know, Janie Swift 13, 1989 on TikTok to figure something out and tell me it. I want Taylor to tell me it. Can I say that? Is that allowed?
A lot of people think that that's what Swiftieism is, and that makes me upset because it's not. Not in my reality. Not in my world. Not in my world that's been going on for 15 plus years.
In my world. Another thing that people are still talking about, if you can believe it, yes, in the year of our Lord 2025, people are still talking about this like it means something. In some of the Midnight's Mayhems with Mies, which is a crazy sentence to say, by the way, she holds the phone upside down. There's no reason
why
for that.
Why did she do that? I'm like, why did she do that? Was it just to make people go, yeah, probably. Probably.
It means nothing. We're past that. Girls, we're so beyond it.
Midnight's has been debunked. We have declued it.
Everything that has to be discovered about Midnight's has been discovered over the past few years. So.
Yet we're still making content about it. But well, we find stuff. We find
I'm sorry. People click.
People click. They do.
People click. People click.
So I guess we're no better than the people that do this on TikTok.
I guess, you know what? I think we should come to a conclusion. We're just the same as all the meth mathers, mm-hmm. but we'll say it before anybody in the comments can say it. Yes. We're the exact same. We're evil.
We're not hypocrites. No. Thank you, because we said it ourselves and acknowledged it. So you can save your, well, actually, for someone else. Thanks for listening. Get tickets to our live show to watch us be hypocrites and dictators live on stage. And we'll see you on the Patreon, patreon.com/withologist.